together.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
Trouble don't last always.
Sorry.
Hey, everybody. It's Oliver Happy Hour. We're back for another episode, and we're talking about some interesting topics today, just related to some things also happening in our lives, but let me just introduce myself and my lovely siblings. I'm Daisy O, always ready for the show. Joined by my lovely siblings, Debbie Dev.
Debbie Dev, here in the building.
And Darren.
Hey, everybody.
All right. So, this week, you know, we're talking about Black culture and death. And unfortunately, it's because we've lost a lot of family members in a very short amount of time. You know, Grandma Newbie, Uncle Kenny,
Auntie Harriet.
Cousin Tanya, Aunt Luella. And it's just occurred to us to just talk about Black culture and death and aftercare and burials. And if you guys don't have your affairs in order, this episode is really all about understanding why it's so important to have your affairs in order and make sure that your family, whatever you're leaving your family, is in good order so that it doesn't create, because unfortunately, things happen with people during death and we see the best and the worst parts of people.
Yeah.
So if you have your affairs in order and you can state in a will or living trust, or, well, living trust is when you're living, but in a will, what your wishes are, then that makes it it makes it a lot easier for whoever your executor is or whoever is overseeing your
estate
to really plan out your wishes. So I was just wanting to ask this question. This is a very odd topic for me, so just give me a moment. I'm not even supposed to be laughing because it's serious. But I think I'm laughing because...
You're uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable, yeah. And I laugh when I'm uncomfortable. It's like that awkward laugh that's like, hee hee hee.
It's not the right time.
It's not the right time. But I just wanted to ask, you know, you guys, like, what do you think about burial and, you know, understanding funeral insurance, all those things?
I think it's important to have because... you just want things to be in order and not have family members like fighting over money situation, house situation, assets and all that other stuff. And unfortunately, sometimes when, you know, a will is set in place, family members will act ugly and just do crazy stuff, take you to court, sue you, and all this other crap, and
try to kill you.
Yes,
over some, or kill you.
Like, yeah. What?
It's like, really intense.
It's crazy, but I feel like for whoever the person is that is, you know, getting ready to transition or whatever, I think it's important for people to have these conversations with their family members and let them know, like, look, this is who's going to be the executor. This is who this is going to, this, the house is going here, the car is going here. And I feel like if the people, the family members hear from that person's mouth.
Oh, yeah. Before they die.
Before they pass. Yeah. It's like, because it shouldn't be any argument like, no, he didn't say that. I don't care if it's written in stock.
All here. You
know, right.
Yeah.
I feel like,
And it was recorded.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like having something recorded, having and a video or something. Yep. Yes, something like that. Because, oh, goodness gracious. The stories that I've heard, like from friends and coworkers, it's like, damn. Yeah. And I would hope and pray that, like, you know, whenever it's our parents' time, I feel like we, as siblings, honestly, I feel like I'm blessed to have the relationship with all of you guys and to be able to be on the same page about certain things. Like, it's no reason to fight. Like, what the heck?
Right.
That's my thing. Like, I just want to keep everything peaceful. You know, whatever mommy and daddy decide, you know, they already have their burials and all that good stuff. So it's not like we'll be like trying to plan a car wash and trying to gather money together and stuff like that.
Which could happen. Yeah.
Which happens to a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. So
it just happened to my friend. She was like, well, we're doing a fundraiser. My dad passed away, unfortunately. Yeah. And we're doing a food fundraiser. And I'm like, unfortunately, I can't buy the food, but I will give, because I know it's a lot on a family, especially if they die unexpectedly and didn't have their affairs in order.
I feel like it's important. Even though it's an uncomfortable topic to talk about, it is reality, and it will happen.
It's a promise of life. Yeah. You're going to die.
So it's important to have a plan set in place.
Yeah. What do you think, Darren?
Well, I'm thinking about just the... I must have shocked you all, because I want to go into a little bit of the history of the cemetery, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're talking about death and aftercare, and, you know, it makes me think about cemeteries and just what's the history thereof of cemeteries. And, you know, we take it back to you know, how you, at the end of any kind of funeral, there's a parting view, and then what happens to the remains is that we put them into a tomb. And I was just doing a little bit of research just on that in itself, because it's something very new. I mean, hey, look, what we do with the remains is often very interesting, and it costs a lot of money. To embalm the remains, which, you know, using formaldehyde, mercury, all these different things. And then you got to think about the preservatives that they put into the casket itself, which might have a wood or steel exterior and things like that. Because, you know, back in the day when urban cemeteries first began, it's a very unhealthy place, a cemetery. Just the foul stench of the decomposing body. And this is before all the chemicals like formaldehyde that we started using. I'm talking about, you know, 300 years ago. You know, when you think about urban cemeteries and you think about places, many times you see them next to a church, right?
You know,
and that they were on church grounds, that they would wrap the body in shroud and bury it. Or it might be a mausoleum, an above-ground tomb. Did you know, I was just reading, they were saying that the decomposing body would use up so much oxygen in the tomb that even a candle could not remain lit because it was not enough oxygen.
Wow.
That if it was like a family tomb or something, they'd have to, you know, somebody passed away, they'd have to let it air out for a bit because it was a big, huge stench. And the decomposing body, it has harmful bacteria that happens with that. But even back in the day, if you think about even like some Catholic churches and things like that, where it was a communal, like where it was like, hey, look, these remains have to be on blessed sacred ground. It has to be on the property of the church and things like that. And you think about the fact that, hey, look, the body can take up to 25 years to decompose. And so what some people would do is that after some years, what would happen is that you have sextons who were charged over, like, being the groundskeepers for church properties and stuff like that. You'd run out of space, and you'd have to make room. So they would collect the bones, and they would put it into a special box where it was just bones in there to make room for the new bodies that would be coming. Because one thing that we do know as a part of life is that death comes. At some point in time, it is going to come. So I was just interested in that because commonly, even what the common thing, even up to 20 years ago, the thing was that you either were in a crypt, in a mausoleum like our parents have. They have a double crypt at Inglewood Park Cemetery, or you're in the ground. And that is real estate. to own a plot in a cemetery park. That's why they call it Inglewood Park.
Inglewood Park.
Because it is a cemetery. lawn garden model, you know, of a cemetery. Mm-hmm. You know, in that it's a park, it's a lawn, you know, you come there, it's all this grass, you know. But, you know, back in the day, only the rich people could afford monuments or a monument cemetery, right? Where you have all these, see, much, much older ones, it's monuments. You see the tombstones, the headstones, the sign, you know, all these different things. You know, go to some of those old school cemeteries that's around L.A., especially the ones over in like Belvedere Park over there in East L.A., Boyle Heights, that area. Evergreen Cemetery. Mm-hmm. You see all these monuments and things like that. So that's what was going through my mind. Because, you know, it's something that's very, very much more recent that we started using this kind of lawn model of it. And it's very expensive, especially if you're in an urban area, to try and pay for that.
Yeah.
You know how much one of those spots costs? You know, some spots are costing $20,000.
It's expensive,
you know. And if you're talking about embalming and things like that, you're talking about another probably like $8,000-$9,000.
Yeah, I mean the expenses add up, you know. And I wanted to ask also, how do you think the Black culture responds? Like Darren gave a history, Devin and I just kind of shared our feelings about it and what our experiences are, just trying to prevent any chaos that may come that's unnecessary from family. Mm-hmm. But how do you think in our Black culture we have like perpetuated any kind of perpetuated just not being responsible for how things are left to our loved ones? Because it's a taboo topic that even I'm sitting up here like, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm shivering in my boots. And it's definitely a response that a lot of Black people have. It's like taboo, but we need to talk about it. Why do you think it's so taboo in the Black culture?
Because people don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's uncomfortable to talk about. And then what makes it even worse is if, you know, the death is unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be young and, you know, they not really considering, like, they thinking they, you know, have time to live longer and have time to get affairs in order, but not realizing that we don't know when our time is coming. So, it's important. I feel like it's important for parents with children to still have like life insurance because anything can happen.
Yeah.
And then when the parent or when the child grows into an adult, the parent, I feel like they're not responsible, but I feel like it should be a priority for the parent to guide their child or their young adult child into being educated about having life insurance and you know, burial and funeral insurance and all that good stuff. But like Darren said, just they don't want to deal with it. It's uncomfortable to talk about. And then, you know, with gang violence and just violence in general, it just depends on, I really feel like, it's crazy. When I was on the cruise, we were coming back from, we were coming back from Ensenada. We were going back to the boat, and we were on the bus, and some lady on the bus was talking about having life insurance, us getting on a boat and she being afraid like that, you know, anything can happen or whatever. She kept saying, I got life insurance, y'all better make sure y'all got some life insurance. And everybody was like, oh yeah, we got life insurance. Everybody was saying like they had life insurance. Yeah. And so I don't know, for me and most of the people on the bus was Black, so it was kind of like good to hear like, Because the lady was like, ain't nobody going to be having no car washed for me. Ain't nobody going to be.
she was really saying.
So this was a Carnival cruise, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was okay. Carnival cruise.
It's a cruise.
So yeah, so they were somebody was trying to sell life insurance. Was she a saleswoman?
No, she wasn't trying to sell life insurance. She was just having like a moment where like she was like, you know, we getting on this boat, we don't know what can happen. Like she was just talking about like.
I have a feeling she was trying to pass out a business card. She wasn't an agent?
It was hella random, okay? It was so random. We were like, why are we talking about life insurance right now? But it's good that y'all got life insurance, okay?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. It's just taboo.
Yeah, it is. What do you think, Darren?
About what, again?
About taboo and, like, people and
I don't think it's just taboo as so taboo. I think it's just certain people who feel responsible for it. They will invest in it. They will invest in funeral insurance. They will invest in life insurance and all those different things because life insurance is an asset, a building thing for wealth for your family, for your offspring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell my clients, too, those with Section 8 vouchers that if you get a life insurance policy, like, you know, you tell let them know your payment portion might go down mm-hmm. and you still are contributing towards an asset for your descendants.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, so I think, yeah, part of it, I remember having certain clients who are African-American who did not want to talk about it at all. They don't want to talk about it. Like, no, don't talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of those clients, though, they did have, you know, chronic health conditions and things like that. So it mm-hmm. probably made it even more real to them mm-hmm. to talk about it.
Yeah.
But if you do it when you're in good health, then it's like, I'm like, hey, look, you might as well have a will and testament and things like that, especially if you want certain things to happen. I think it's real sad many times for in our Black community that, you know, when someone passes away, there's so much fighting over money and resources. And some people just decide like, yeah, we're just going to sell the house and split up the money. And then you find out later, wow, like if we would have just held on to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we would have just held on to that property or something like that.
Kept it in the family.
Even if I rented it out, my kid now is needing of a home. And we sold grandma's house or we sold mama's house because we wanted to buy us a Cadillac that's already rusted out and all jacked up and stuff already. You know, it's been 10 years and it's, we don't have nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just something to consider.
And I wanted to also bring up like people's priorities, you know, what are people's priorities in the Black community? Because life insurance and burial insurance and having a will and testament, those should be priorities. But there's a lot of like other tangible things that people want. They don't see that life insurance is tangible. It's just that you have to either pass away and or have a rider mm-hmm. added to it so that you can access those benefits. So it's a lot of education that I think we need to have with our black communities, just educating them on why this is an asset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though you don't have the physical, tangible car in front of you, this is a vehicle for your future success and the success of your children. Mm-hmm. So why not have it for them? So yeah, those are just some things that came to mind. How would you like your remains to be treated?
I will not be in a casket.
Okay.
I want to get cremated because I don't want nobody looking at me. Because that's not me.
Yeah, it's not gonna be me. It's not my spirit.
I don't want no viewing. You know, my family, like y'all, you know, mm-hmm. y'all can look at me, but no, I don't want. Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Darren?
Yeah. I'm thinking about cremation. Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think it's. I mean, because look, if not, it's really, I know it's really expensive to get a spot.
It is, yeah.
Because the spots are limited now, too. Yeah, unless you're trying to be out in San Bernardino or somewhere.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, that's even money to have a hearse take you all the way out there and drop you off.
Right.
And there's opening and closing. You know, mom and daddy, they took 20 years to pay off their double crypt.
Yeah.
You know, they got it, but, you know, I mean, that was a good deal back in the 80s. They don't even do that no more.
Mm-hmm. But they had it and they stayed up to date with it. So
yeah.
The thing is, too, with insurance, you have to pay that premium every single right. month, and you can't miss a payment or have a lapse in your payment. Otherwise, you can't access the benefits. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep those payments current. And I think that's important. I'm like you guys, I want to be cremated. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a ceremony and like put my ashes in Hawaii because I love Hawaii and I just always felt close there mm-hmm. when I stepped on the, you know, but you guys can keep some of the remains. Like it's just a lot that goes into it. So at least you have to know, like actually know mm-hmm. what you want and act and think about it instead of avoiding it. Like Darren mentioned, some of his clients just completely don't want to talk about mm-hmm. it. But when you don't talk about it,
then that's where
you leave it up to
everybody else
has to make a decision. Exactly. And that's a lot of pressure on them while they're going through grief and mm-hmm. all the emotions that comes with losing our loved ones. But yeah. Darren, you said that there is a new option to turn the body into compost.
Yes. Yes. There is an option to Devin actually was just mentioning this and I had just went through the for $5,500 or $89.92 a month for I don't know how long. You can get the Earth package from a company called Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Earth, they will take possession. I mean, once they are given your remains, mm-hmm. they will put you into this specialized chamber that in 40 to 5 days with a mixture of mulch, organic mulch, wood chips, and wildflowers of all things, mm-hmm. And your body is cleaned and wrapped in shroud and stuck into this chamber. That has optimal moisture, and I think it's up to 130 degrees for 45 days, and it will turn you into a soil. And wow. you get 1 cubic yard of your remains in this soil that you're free. Maybe your family wants to plant a nice garden for you or something like that, or maybe they want to, you know, take you, you know, you can have some of your remains taken up to Washington State. Mm-hmm. Where there is a like a forest conservation that they have, where your remains will go back to conservation efforts.
Wow, wow,
that's a good option. I'm gonna look into that.
Well, it is.
Build me, turn my body into compost, and then grow me into a tree.
How do you guys feel about donating your organs? Like, do you feel like you want to donate or to your body to research? Like.
I would not do the to research. I know, like that's usually like a free like option, mm-hmm. you know. But I don't know. I had heard some stories just about that, and
I agree.
I wouldn't
donate him.
I'm not, and don't put that you want to donate it on the driver's license because then you're added to a database, and then people with that database know, and then there's some funny business. Like seriously, so like I just have never.
I've never checked that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, don't. No. If that's not something that you want, then don't check that box, okay?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But the Earth Package, I mean, $5,500, it sounds very interesting. You know, so you can 5 impact trees planted by 1 tree planted, access to Family Earth Portal. I don't know what worldwide travel protection is.
If you want to have it shipped somewhere,
all over the world.
The travel insurance protection.
Yeah. Hmm.
Dang, that's a good option, though. Seriously, I think it's very thoughtful of someone to think of this in terms of like putting your remains into compost that could be returned to the earth.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, that's $54.50, or it's $89.92.
What is this, a commercial, Darren, for the...
Earthfuneral.com?
No, it's basic just an option. It's another option.
It's another option.
Yeah, exactly.
It's another option other than just being cremated
In order of most expensive, obviously having a casket and like having a plot is like more expensive. And then you have cremation. And then this is like seems to be more affordable option.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you guys, that's all that we had to talk about
today.
That's all we got today, y'all. It's a mini quick episode just to have a good conversation about preparing for
spark some thought, and to get it together.
I mean, for families, especially those with offsprings and stuff like that, it's never too late to create a will. Mm-hmm. It's never too late to get what you want down, because a lot of times people's assets gets lost as well in probate court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And I think it's a great opportunity even for us to even say, like, hey, even with us and our parents, maybe we need to put some assets into a living trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that certain assets are protected and are prevented from having to go through probate and for us having to pay estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the other thing. If you have offspring and, like, you know, Uncle Sam is going to get their cut. Yeah. They find out that you died, they want a piece of it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, or they say, you owe us some Medicare money. You need to sell the house and pay us back.
Mm.
You know, and so rich people, they do this. They have their property in trust or they have many of their assets in trust so that they can bypass this estate tax and stuff like that.
That's smart. Darren, thank you for educating the people. Like, put your money in some trusts and funds. And have it secured by a financial professional who can help you get that done.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And people be so skeptical about people who sell insurance. And I'm like, these people are really trying to protect you. I have my life insurance license, and it's just I need to figure out how I'm going to use it. I take the exam and everything. But it's mainly because I appreciated the education.
Yeah.
Even as I was learning about it, for me, I was more informed and knowledgeable about the decisions, and I didn't have to mistrust the financial professional that's giving it to me, because I'm also learning about it. So we have to educate ourselves on things so that we can make better decisions and better choices for our families.
Yeah. And there are options. Even if you think that there are none, there might be one
for you.
You know, for you out there, you know, just even like a Colonial Pen or something like that. Some of them things where it costs just, you know, you don't have to pay that much. But if you're vested in for like 8 years, then like, you know, your offspring might be guaranteed to a payment upon, you know, you passing away.
Right. And I mean, and that's just kind of the basics of it. You know, you just have to be prepared. And I do think everybody needs to at least be aware of insurance and your options, because it's the insurance professional's job to tell you your options, but it's also your job to do the research and look into it, you know, and see what is the better choice for you. They don't just say, oh, here, you know, here's one option. If you got somebody like that, like, honestly, that person, you need to fire them. Go to the next person, because they're supposed to give you options for you to take home. And then you can also let them know what your needs are so that they can provide the best products for you that meet your needs, you know?
Yeah.
But that is their job.
Absolutely. Well.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
All right. All right, y'all. We're going to say our Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
God bless.